I invite you to remain standing for the reading of the gospel this morning. It comes from Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that the Lord God is one and there is no other besides him. To love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us remember those who have entered into everlasting life. Alyssa Alladeff, Scott Beagle, Martin Duke Angiano, Nicholas Dworet, Aaron Feiss, Jamie Gutenberg, Chris Hickson, Luke Hoyer, Kara Luren, Gina Montalto, Joaquin Oliver, Elena Petty, Meadow Pollock, Helena Ramsey, Alex Schachter, Carmen Shintrup, and Peter Wang. On the afternoon of April 20th, 1999, when I arrived home from school that afternoon, I found my mom watching television. Seated on the plaid patterned couch that had a central place in the middle of our family room, I sat down on the couch beside her and we watched the unfolding live coverage as SWAT teams attempted to apprehend two individuals as they laid siege to Columbine High School. With coverage from news helicopters above, the infamous school shooting was emblazoned in the American consciousness that afternoon. How can you forget if you've seen the images of high school students running from the school across the green with their hands held high, flanked by SWAT teams on each side ready to receive them? I recall that in subsequent weeks, the news covered every angle. Whether or not the assailants were socially awkward, were they excluded from hanging out with the popular kids? Were they emo? Were they devil worshippers? Did they learn their firearm handling skills and the ability to make pipe bombs from playing popular video games at the time? Were the assailants diagnosed and treated for mental illness? Perhaps that could explain it away. And just about 8 years to the day, close to it, I was walking across the campus at Randolph-Macon. I was a college sophomore at the time, and as that day unfolded, we began hearing that a mass shooting had begun at Virginia Tech, just a few hours away. When I heard the news, I began texting and emailing friends that I'd gone to high school with, because Virginia Tech, being the size as it is like kids in Tennessee going to UT. You know somebody there. I called friends that I worked at the restaurant with during the summer who were at Virginia Tech. My classmates and I sat in our dorm rooms just updating Facebook, waiting for folks to post that they were safe. By dinner time, as we strolled to the cafeteria, the reports were that 32 individuals had their lives cut short by a lone shooter that day. This past Wednesday afternoon, late in the day, I was scrolling through my news feed and saw that a shooting in Parkland, Florida was underway. The assailant was still at large at the time, and so I left the house to come back for Wednesday dinner. For Ash Wednesday worship, there were no reports of fatalities yet. But by the end of the evening, 17 confirmed fatalities, including students and coaches and educators. We're not far into the season of Lent, 4 or 5 days. We're preparing for the Easter feast. It's supposed to be a season of introspection, searching the inner life, undergoing a deep moral inventory, seeking forgiveness from God and one another for our rebellious spirits. The lectionary prescribes for this morning a reading from Mark in Jesus' baptism so that we hear the words of John the Baptist, repent and believe in the gospel. Lent is a season to remember our own mortality. I told you Wednesday night, from dust you came and to dust you shall return. The Ash Wednesday massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School was an unholy way for communities across this country to step across the threshold into the season of Lent. And in the past few days, since this most recent mass shooting, you and I have seen a resurgence of strong opinions about gun rights and gun control, mental health and treatment, the role of law enforcement and the like. Many of these strong opinions we haven't heard since the week after the shooting in Las Vegas. From every corner of creation and walk of life, the blog posts, the podcasts, the news articles, the news interviews, they light up our consciousness with a variety of perspective on America's addiction to mass shootings, especially in schools. I hope you're reading, I hope you're listening, I hope you're considering the plethora of ideas that are out there. We have an opportunity still before us to figure out how to solve the epidemic of children and teenagers being murdered at school. Surely, there's enough common sense and collective will to stop this madness. But then again, we haven't figured it out yet, so perhaps this is a reality that we are quite okay with. This morning, I want you to think theologically about the world around you. Not in terms of the frames we're often given that you have to be either this or that and nothing in between. I want you to consider where love, the most powerful force in the world, is or is not at work in your life. What power does the reign of God have when it is confronted with an armed assailant? Is a mass shooting evidence that we have failed terribly to love God and neighbor well? Are we still believing that we're all created in the image of God? Do you really believe that? That's a hard pill to swallow when one of your brothers murders children. What is evil? What is the nature and power of evil in this world? In the season of Lent, because it's a season of introspection, we're especially inclined to ask, what have we done or failed to do that has helped young men especially walk into abysmal darkness and violence and hatred that always, almost always ends in a hail of gunfire? How have we propped up visions of the world that are unequivocally violent and racist and homophobic and xenophobic? For such is not the reign of God. Perhaps asking questions like those is an uncomfortable exercise. It requires a searing look into our own lives. It's far more easy to be interested in the troubled, violent, broken life of the Parkland shooter. He was orphaned. He was mentally ill. He was grieving the death of his mother. He was consumed because a girlfriend had started dating another guy. All of this comprises the narratives we've heard this week. We search his life hoping for a needle in the haystack explanation to make sense of his destructive actions. As I read through some of his social media exchanges with classmates, I was overwhelmed by the intensity of hatred in his text messages, in his Snapchat conversations. How can another human being descend into a living hell? His language indicating his hatred of blacks and Hispanics and gays also caught my attention. But then I remembered I'd heard this language before, rather frequently. Perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised. With an abundance of weapons of war in the marketplace, the young men especially are unleashing vile forms of masculine destruction on helpless victims. Far too many of us, by acts of commission or omission, have cultivated an atmosphere where this behavior is thriving like a cancer. In our world, in our communities collectively, I think it's fair in a season of Lent this Sunday to say we are not loving God and neighbor well. Parkland could have just as easily been Kingston Springs. It could have been Green Hills. It could have been Dixon. If we were loving God and neighbor well, I have to believe that we would see joy and transformation and hope and reconciliation and restored relationships in our communities. But for that to happen, we all have a part to play. We have to choose to love our children and our grandchildren more than our right to purchase weapons of war. Call them modern shooting weapons if you want. A weapon all the same. We have to choose to serve children and youth who've never had the fortune of sun shining on their face. We have to stop discriminatory and inflammatory nonsense. It's denigrating our neighbors. Teenagers have it hard enough, bullied, trying to carve out identities in a tumultuous world. They don't need it any thicker than they've already got it. And a particular note is worth emphasizing. It's an extension of our children's message. I regard the work of Dr. Kathy Beck, her educators, and her staff across this area as a sacred trust. Families believe that every day their young people will be given opportunities to learn, to explore, to grow while participating in Cheatham County schools. The same could be said across the area. For a time, children and grandchildren are put in the care of educators. Families deeply yearn for that to be a safe and fulfilling time until their little ones return home. I commend the educators and the first responders of this community to your love and care always. They carry an immense weight that is often unnoticed until a time of tragedy like this past week reminds us. As I said, in the wake of the shooting in Las Vegas, I wish that this violence was something we had never seen before. We see it time and time again. It's an insidious encroachment of evil because we've become expectant that schools and houses of worship and places of recreation are going to be terrorized by shooters. God's reign is eroded when our neighborhoods are terrorized. Our gospel of Jesus Christ is watered down if the only thing we can imagine doing in response to Parkland is to go arm ourselves tooth and nail. It's not working out very well for us. We're peacemakers. We're healers. We're the living body of Christ that believes in a beloved community where relationships with neighbors are made whole. That's the reign of God in our presence. On this side of Easter, on this side of terror and tragedy, we still believe that the grace and love of Jesus Christ is the most powerful force working for good in the world. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can break the bond that God has with you and for you. As sure as I am that Almighty God knows the suffering of those whose world was terrorized this week, God has brought those whose lives were cut short into everlasting peace. I'm sure that the reign of God will one day be made known in full. And I hope you yearn for that day of new creation when tears and suffering are no more. Bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.